If you have your Bible, let's turn it to, let's open up to John chapter 10. And I'll read a few verses here from John chapter 10, some things that Jesus was sharing. And then I want to tell a kind of a story that's forms a backdrop for these words that Jesus speaks. Beginning at verse 1, John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. But when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they'll not follow, they'll flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to thank you for your presence here this morning and what we've already sensed, just rejoicing in you and thinking about your amazing salvation, your amazing presence among us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray now that as we look into your word, that you would lead our hearts and our minds. We want to receive what you have for us. I want to especially pray for your enablement, your anointing to speak those things to this morning that you have for us. We thank you that you're here. You said when we come together in your name, you're there. And we know you're here with us now, right now, by your Spirit. We thank you for that. Amen. All right. Like just about everything in the Bible, if we just grab one little section out and pull it out and kind of lift it away from the context that it goes in, we won't quite get the full impact. Although it would be helpful, it won't give us the same impact as if we have a little understanding of the bigger story. How many realize the Bible is a story from start to finish? It's an amazing story, and every single part of the Bible is part of that story. You might say, well, wait a minute, Sam, there's like letters in there, and there's like prophecies, and there's poetry, and how's that a story? Well, you wouldn't understand those prophecies very well, and you wouldn't understand those letters or epistles very well, and it would be very difficult to understand the poetry very well, the poetic books, if you didn't know the big story that they're a part of. So the Bible is a story. It's God's story. It's his story of his purpose and plan to have a people who will enjoy him forever and delight in his glory. And therefore, he too is glorified in that. So the Bible is God's story and it's about his desire for a people, a redeemed people. Now, in this passage here in John, Jesus is talking about hearing God's voice and how his sheep hear his voice. Now, the backdrop of that, or the context of that, is something that happened just happened that same day there in the city of Jerusalem where Jesus is with his disciples. And Jesus, it's a Sabbath day. And Jesus is walking along through the streets of Jerusalem with his disciples, and they see a man there who has been blind from birth. And the disciples ask Jesus about the man, because they notice the man there, and they say, now Jesus, tell us, is this man blind because of his own sin, or is he blind because of his parents' sin? And Jesus just said to them, you know, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame here. It's not like that in this case. As a matter of fact, this has happened to this man to demonstrate what God can do. And then Jesus came over to that blind man and he spit in the dust. He made some mud and he put it in the blind man's eyes. And he told the blind man, now go down to the pool of Siloam and wash your eyes and you'll be healed. And the man did it. And sure enough, after he washed his eyes in the pool, he was completely healed and he could see. Well, pretty soon the whole town was buzzing. And people were saying, this can't be the man who was born blind, can it? Others were arguing, no, he's the one. We know him. He's the one. And others were saying, no, it's somebody else. He just looks like the blind man. And all the while, the man who had been born blind is saying, no, it's me. It's really me. It's me. And they said, if that's you, how did you get your eyes opened up like that? And the man born blind said, well, that the man named Jesus, he came along here, he made some mud, and he put the mud in my eyes, and he told me to go down and wash in the pool, and when I did it, I was healed, and now I can see. Well, the people took the man who had been born blind and had been healed, they took him down to the Jewish religious leaders to get this thing checked out. And the Jewish religious leaders, they started to grill the man over and over and over and over with questions. And the man told his story and he said, this man, Jesus, he did this. He put mud in my eyes. I washed my eyes. I can see. And they said, religious leaders said, this Jesus you speak of, he's an imposter. He doesn't even keep the Sabbath day. He's a sinner. And the man who had been born blind said, well, frankly, I don't know about all that kind of thing. All I know is, I was born blind, and now I can see. So the religious leader said, okay, tell us again what happened here. How did this Jesus do this thing? And the man said, I've already told you the story more than once, but you didn't listen. You wouldn't listen. Now, you want to hear it again. Why? Are you wanting to be his disciples too? Well, the religious leaders said, you might be his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. And the man who had been born blind said, well, I can tell you this. If God wasn't with this Jesus, he could not have done this miracle. And the religious leaders sneered back at the man and they said, you are nothing but scum from the day you were born. Don't you use that tone of voice with us and try to lecture us. And they took the man and they tossed him out of the synagogue, out of the meeting place, and kicked him out. Well, there, out in the street, Jesus heard that the man had been kicked out, and he went and found the man. And Jesus came up to the man who had been born blind, who had been healed now. He said, hi, do you believe in the Son of God? And the man said, well, tell me who he is, and I'll believe in him. And Jesus said, you're looking at him right now. The one you're talking to, he's the one. And the man, born blind, started to worship Jesus with all his heart right out there in the street. Well, after that, Jesus began to speak. And he said, I came into this world to bring everything into the clear light of day, so that those who have never seen anything will be able to see, really see. And I also came to those who have made such a pretense about being able to see and expose them as being blind themselves. Well, the religious leaders were listening in. And they said, are you accusing us of being blind? And Jesus answered them and said, well, because you claim to see so well, you're responsible and accountable for every one of your sins and failures and faults. Now, it's on that note, it's with that backdrop that Jesus continues to speak and say what we've read already. My sheep hear my voice. And that puts a real punch into those words, doesn't it? My sheep hear my voice. You see, here's the picture, and I think you can see it. Jesus is out in the street. He's out in the streets of Jerusalem, and he's gathering his flock to himself. He's gathering his people to himself. He's gathering the people of God, those who are responding to God. He's gathering them to himself. The Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, they see themselves as the shepherds of Israel. That's their role. That's how they understand. That's how they would define themselves, that we are the people who shepherd Israel and keep Israel on the pathway that it's supposed to be on. But Jesus says, in these words, if in effect, he says, you've got that wrong. You guys are out of business. I'm the shepherd of Israel. I am the shepherd of the people of God. Anyone who listens to me and hears my voice, they're the real sheep. Anyone else is simply an imposter. The Jewish religious leaders saw themselves as the doorkeepers, controlling admittance into the family of God, the Israel of God. Okay? They saw themselves as the doorkeepers. They had just told a man who had been born blind and was healed now, They had just kicked him out of the meeting place, and in doing so said, "You have lost admittance into the family of God. You are expelled. You're out." And Jesus comes along with that and says, "I am the door. If you want to be in the family of God, you can only get into the family of God by coming through me. There's no other way. I'm the door. You can't be part of this. You can't be part of God's plan, his kingdom, his family, his people on earth, without coming to me." That's what Jesus is saying. These are radical, radical words. This isn't just a nice little story about a shepherd with a sheep in a nice, sweet way. These are radical, piercing words that carry with them incredible ramifications. Not only for Israel, but for everybody on earth. Are you with me? No other way in but through the door. And Jesus said, "I'm that door." And then he said, "You know what? I'm calling people. And those who respond to my voice, they're my sheep. If they don't hear my voice, if they're plugging their ears..." You kind of get the feeling those religious leaders were just plugging their ears. They wouldn't really listen. Even the man born blind said, "You won't listen. I've told you the story. I've told it again. I've told it again. You won't listen. You keep thinking of arguments and rationale and reasonings why you don't want to believe the story." And Jesus is saying, "Anybody, I'm calling people, anybody who hears my voice, responds, they're my sheep. They're the true people of God." The whole order of things is changing now, Jesus is saying. I'm here. I'm the promised one. I'm the one that the prophets looked toward and expected and hoped. I'm here. And I'm calling my sheep. I'm out here in the street. I'm out here among ordinary, everyday people. People who get up in the morning and go off to blue-collar jobs. I'm out here calling my people to follow me. I am the shepherd. I am the door. There's no other way in. Amazingly radical words. Well, it's on that note that we start to understand something about prophecy, isn't it? Because prophecy begins by hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd and then speaking what he has spoken to us. And really, as the people of God, that's you and I, those of us who have come to faith in Jesus. And God's people has got to be a very, very big family right across all the nations. Jews, Gentiles, people, all colors, all races, all ages, men, women, boys, girls. And everybody who is part of that family has heard the voice of the shepherd at least one time in their life. Because you just can't get in any other way. It's not about being humanly born into the right family or the right race or the right group or the right nation. Nothing to do with that anymore. Zero to do with that. It has to do with having heard the voice of the Good Shepherd, Jesus, and have entered through him into the family of God. And so, really, it's impossible to function as the people of God without hearing his voice. It's not possible. So, As Christians, we have heard the voice of the Lord. All of us have heard the voice of the Lord at least once. Some of us might have gotten our ears plugged up because of things that have happened to us. Sometimes it can be what we've already heard about prophetically, wounds and things like that, or disappointments, or it can happen by getting our eyes off Jesus and onto other things, and that can plug up our hearing some so we don't hear as well. Sometimes it's possible not to hear very well at all because we simply don't expect anything to be said. But how many realize we serve a God who likes to talk? He communicates himself. And if we're listening, we may discover he's doing a lot more talking than we're doing listening. So we're called to be a prophetic people. We're called to be a people who hear the voice of our shepherd, our king, our savior, Jesus. So we've all heard his voice at least once. All who have responded to Jesus' call have heard his voice at least one time. Because it may have been a message someone preached. It may have been some friends that talked to you and shared what God had done in their life. It may have been something you read. It may have been something that you saw in Scripture. It may have been some other experience that drew you to the feet of Jesus. But however you got there to the feet of Jesus to put your trust in him, that was the voice of the Good Shepherd. Maybe someone's here today and you're hearing his voice for the very, very first time today. You're somehow, some of this is starting to make a little bit of sense and you're thinking, wait a minute, I'm wondering if maybe I'm in this meeting today because God is calling me to the feet of Jesus, to surrender my life to Jesus. Maybe that's happening to somebody right here, right today. Could be. Could easily be. But however it happens, it's the voice of the Good Shepherd. Our son, our second son, Andy, when his wife, Erin, was pregnant with their first child, he used to get down by her pregnant belly and he would sing or whistle or sing a song, and kind of ask him, well, you know, why do you do that? And he said, well, because I want our baby, after she's born, to know my voice so that when she comes out, I'm going to sing to her then, and she'll know, oh, it's you. Okay, I've been listening to you for, you know, about 9 months now. And so the same voice that brought us to the new birth is the voice who leads us on through life. It's the same voice. My sheep know my voice, Jesus said. And Jesus would repeat oftentimes these phrases. Remember, he said repeatedly, if you have ears to hear, hear, listen. J.B. Phillips translated, if anyone has ears to hear, use them. That's pretty good. Jesus repeatedly said to the churches that the Apostle John wrote to in Revelation, each church got the same message over and over. Every church got a common message than the other more specific messages prophetically. But every church heard this. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. That's the common message that goes out to everybody that's in the family. If you have ears to hear with, and you do, then listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. That's your job. That's my job. That's a common work, a common task of all believers. So we got to get it out of our head that the people who hear God's voice are some elite group that do funny things or kind of are strange a little bit or way different from the average guy in the church. No, no, no. Kick that thought out. It come from pagan culture. It didn't come from the Bible, okay? The pagan culture had the people who hear things from the spirit world. They're kind of Twilight Zone. But no, that's not the case here. All God's people have a capacity to hear God's voice. Now, he says in verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So there's something very intimate, very personal. There's a very personal aspect to hearing God's voice. He calls his own sheep by name. If you call somebody by name, there's something personal about that. And it actually reflects some kind of knowing you. And that's really, really connected to the idea of the shepherd with the sheep. There's this knowing that animal, that sheep, that the shepherd has. And I understand I think it's true even today in parts of the Middle East where shepherds have names for their sheep and they call them. They literally call them each one by name, or they refer to them by name. And very often, as I understand it, in especially Middle Eastern culture, Middle Eastern agrarian culture, shepherd keeping, sheep keeping culture, the names that would be picked would sometimes have something to do with that animal and the history of that particular animal. I was raised on a farm, and I know that my parents gave names to some of the cattle, and there was a reason why certain cows were called Bossy, for example. It wasn't just like cute. It was like, no, that watch that one. She's liable to, get a little feisty. Some of the kind of compound names that they would give would sometimes reflect something of that sheep's history. Like, for example, a shepherd might call a sheep, that's that sheep, the one I bought for 2 pots of honey. That one. That's a name, but it's a name that reflects the history of the sheep. Might be the one that was born over in the old dry riverbed, that one. A compound name that reflects the history. So, this idea of being called by name and the shepherd calling his own sheep by name speaks of an intimate knowledge of that sheep. Its history, its background, its scars, its blemishes, its wounds, its what happened. You realize that our God knows everything there is to know about us. You realize that Jesus knows everything there is to know about you, stuff that you don't even know about you, he knows. He knows why he made you. He knows why he created you. He knows what his plans are for you. He was there when you spoke your first word. And I believe he was there rejoicing because he said, she started to talk. And one of these days, she's going to tell other people about how glorious I am and how I love to deliver people from darkness. Jesus knows everything there is to know about you and about me. Do you know what? He knows about the worst sin you'll ever commit in your life. He knows about it, even if it hasn't happened yet. And you know what you can expect to hear from him on the day you commit the very worst sin you're ever going to commit, if you can think of it that way? He's going to say, one way or another, I knew about this all along. And I saved you anyway. And I'm here to heal you, to wash you, to restore you, if you look to me. That's Jesus. That's our shepherd. He knows how to lead us. He knows how to move us forward. He knows about our blemishes, our scars, our sins. He loves us anyway. It's not by our performance. It's not by our potential. It's not anything to do with us. It's because of who He is and what He's done. We stand justified before God the Father through Jesus, not by any merits of our own, not by any performance of our own, simply because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. It sounds too good to be true, but that's the gospel we preach. I could go on and on with that, but I'm going to move along here. So Jesus says, you've heard my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Now, you should listen. Blessed are your, he says to his disciples, blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they hear. So, spend time expecting to hear God talk to you. He will. Now, I'm going to just share quickly a few things that I think help us become better at hearing the shepherd's voice, okay? Just, lots could be said, but I just want to share some, what I think are pretty important features to getting clearer and more acute in our hearing ability. First of all, we need to realize that listening and hearing somebody is relationship. What do we do when we get together as friends? We talk to each other, usually. And we usually don't just do it by going through a list of bullet points. Might do that in a classroom or a teaching session, but friends actually share life with each other. They share their stories with each other. They share their heart with each other. And that's important to relationship. And that applies to our relationship with Christ, with our God. He calls us into friendship. He says, I call you friends. And you know, if you're just servants and that's it, you know, the master doesn't let the servant in on what's going on, really. He just tells you, go do this, go do that. But he said, I'm calling you friends, and I'm letting you know, I'm sharing with you things. And so that requires some time. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time expecting that He would bring things to your heart. With any relationship, we've got to keep the relationship healthy. And when it comes to the Lord, we've got to be quick to repent of sin. Don't let sin build up and then carry it around and say, well, I've blown it so bad, I just need to suffer for a while, I just need to sit here for a while. No, deal with it. Get up, get in front of the Lord. Confess it, let Him come to you and heal you and forgive you afresh and restore your soul. Have a soft heart toward the Lord, a desire to follow Him, a desire to come into His presence freely and enjoy Him, enjoy His grace. When you understand, you know, when we can see how quick He is, respond to us when we come into His presence and how He wants us to find delight in him and joy in him. Because he's the only one that can flood our souls with a joy that lasts on and on through all the stuff that goes on in life right into eternity. Another important aspect of hearing God is to just be drinking in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. Repeat it repeatedly. You know, we believe in being baptized with the Spirit, being flooded with the Spirit, being drenched with the Spirit, but that's not just once in a life. There is an initial experience that we call baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know what I'm talking about today, just let me tell you, God wants to fill us up with His Spirit. Not only does He want us to experience the fact that we're forgiven now, and that we're made, you know, alive in Him now, we're born again, He wants to flood us with His Holy Spirit so that we're empowered to do what we could never do on our own, and that is so we can do His stuff. And He healed the sick, and He wants to use us to heal the sick. And He spoke words of life. He wants to use us to speak words of life. We need the Spirit for that. So be filled with the Spirit. Here's a real important one, I think, for those of us who are walking with the Lord and we want to increase our hearing capacity, and that is be immersed in God's Word, in God's written Word. Be immersed in this story, true story, God's story, that starts in Genesis and goes right through to the book of Revelation. Know God's big redemption story. That's important. See, this book isn't just a collection of sayings and teachings and verses that are to kind of give us a boost or give us something to preach about. It's as I said earlier, it is a story, and we didn't know that story. We need to understand how God's big plan of salvation is unfolded, starting in chapter 1 with the creation of the universe and how He wanted the earth filled with people. And He had a plan for that. And then there's the fall, and then there is a plan to redeem and restore, and there's a plan for eternal glory that only God receives through a redeemed people. So we need to be flooded with this big story. Not just proof texts, not just verses, although I'm all about, you know, if God can speak through a verse, and we heard this morning about how a verse became very strong, faith-building, life-giving words to see an amazing thing happen, and I believe in that. But we need to know how that verse fits in to the big story in order to fully appreciate what it is. Are you with me? Know God's big story. One of the ways we do that in our church is we have community groups or small groups, and we go through story by story, key redemptive stories. We tell them. We just tell those stories and have the leader share that story or tell it, and then we discuss it, and we really try to digest it and really try to get it into our own hearts and become capable of telling that story ourselves, because the Word of God takes on life when it gets in here. And one of the best ways to get it in here is to tell it. Okay? I could say a lot about that, but I'm going to move on. We need the Word of God. This Bible actually leads us into hearing God. It leads us into being prophetic. It leads us into cooperating with the Holy Spirit and seeing His gifts released in our lives. Some theologians taught for a long time that once we got the whole Bible, canonized and got it all put together in church history, we didn't need the gifts anymore. We now have a full Bible, so we don't need the miracles anymore. But you know what? That doesn't come from here. When you read this story, you get the very distinct impression God wants that happening everywhere this story is told. I know I'm preaching to the choir on that one, so we'll move along. Here's another important key to hearing God, and that is be involved in the life of your community, your church, the body of people the Lord has joined you to. Be a part. Be very much related to that community, because this walk with God and this thing of hearing God isn't just an individual experience. That is there, yes, but it is a community experience. We hear God together, we relate to God together, we walk with God together, we help each other on this journey. We stand together as a people, and those who pull themselves away into an individualistic idea about relating to God miss out and often grow weird, sadly. We need to walk with God's family, relate well with the leadership God has placed in our lives. And I so appreciate the leadership team in this church and sense their integrity and desire to faithfully lead as under-shepherds under Pastor Jesus. We need each other. We need to be willing to submit our lives and any revelation we feel like God is bringing us to the people of God, the leadership, and the church. Say, Sam, wait a minute. God talks to me. I don't have to. It's God, you know. No, it's actually biblical for me to say that. It's actually biblical for me to say, if you feel you've received revelation from the Lord, it needs to be weighed by the community that you're part of. Because why? Because we're fallible, that's why. Because we don't always hear exactly right. Sometimes we can get our wires crossed. Sometimes we didn't hear, or we heard partially, and we need some help figuring out how it somehow is to be acted on, and that happens in community. That happens in community. And I just kind of finally share this. There's much more we could share, but when we're listening to the Lord, it's good to learn how to dial it down a little. I can shout and holler and dance with the best of them, and I love those times of celebration. I love those. That's why one of the reasons we call our celebration event celebration is we want to celebrate. But when it comes to listening to God, it doesn't hurt at all to dial down a bit in the emotions and in the noise of our own mind and just listen. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know I'm God." One translation puts it, "Cease striving and know that I'm God." High-level emotions can actually cloud our ability to hear. Habakkuk tells a story about how he was really troubled and really bothered about some things that he was going through, and he goes to God and he complains to God, which is a good place to go when you're confused. Go to God. Take it to God. And that's what he did. But he had to actually come to a point where he settled down and said, okay, I'm going to dial down. I'm going to wait and see what the Lord will say to me. And then God started to talk to him, and his whole perspective changed. That's kind of an important feature to this thing about hearing God, is just listen. Just listen. When you're deeply troubled, when you're going through some issues in life or pain, there's a place to bring that into God's presence and just let Him know how you really are feeling and what's really going on. You're not accusing God. You're just bringing the trouble into His presence. But that finally somewhere has to come to an end, and you now say, I'm going to quiet down and see what He might say to me. I think it could be a little trite sometimes when somebody's going through a real difficult time to say, well, just pray about it. Prayer is always good in some way, but there can be this. We can actually get so absorbed in the trouble we're in that that's all we think about when we pray, and we never actually get off that. It becomes like a stuck record. And someplace along the line, we need to quit striving and dial down and see what the Lord might say and do. His voice calls us to action. When He speaks, God doesn't make any distinction between His works and His words. Remember, He spoke and the world came into existence. So when God talks, stuff happens. He doesn't just talk for talk's sake. His words are all powerful and do things. And so when God speaks to us, He leads us into action. His words, when prophecy comes, or God speaks to us through His big story, through His written word, which is a more certain and secure word of prophecy, and it leads us into sane thinking about the things of the Spirit. And we do the things of the Spirit in a sane and sensible way if we stick close to His word. I'm a little skeptical of too many exotic and special ideas about receiving revelation. I'm not saying that God couldn't do something unusual in someone's life, but when we take an exotic or strange thing and make it like a model to follow, and it kind of moves us off of God's word and His ways, I think that's kind of perilous territory. Not too long ago, there was a focus among some people that were trying to develop models to hear God, and they started saying, you know, everybody can have an angel, and if you get an angel and that angel talks to you, then you'll become more prophetic. Well, you know, I'm a little skeptical about that. I believe in angels, and I believe angels sometimes talk to people, but I think to set that up as a model for everybody is moving away from some sound biblical thinking. And I could go on and on, but I won't take the time. Those are exotic ideas that start to stray from moving in the things of the Spirit in a sane and sensible way that is truly of the Spirit, and it's coming out of a mind frame and an attitude of the heart that's saturated with this big story. Let's stand together.